Welcome to Minority Corner
with an EK
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay,
and ladylike.
Ladies in the park, ladies in the dark, gays in the park, and gays in the dark.
This week on Minority Corner,
We're live in the park.
Oh my God, we're reunited.
Well, that's the most important thing, actually. We're looking at each other, and I can touch you.
We can actually do a real high five right now.
5, 6, 7, 8. Boom.
Why'd you have to count it in? Such a dancer. I could see you.
Well, just you weren't at rehearsal, so I just have to be there. I can touch a neck, I can look at her.
It's amazing. There's James, I'm touching his knee right now.
I feel uncomfortable, but I like it.
Moving up the thigh. No.
I need an adult, even though she is an adult. This week, we're going to start a two-part segment about RuPaul and the complexities around RuPaul and Drag Race and all that stuff.
That should be good.
Yeah.
I need to remember to respond because now you're right here. I feel like all I need to do is just nod and look at you.
Say the words. Say the words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm talking about color issues.
And not just like colors as like
light and dark.
Okay.
And a specific hashtag that has been created to bring attention and love to our dark-skinned ladies out there in the world.
Loving some attention and some love, and I'm loving your colorful Galaxy Quest sweatshirt.
I love Galaxy print right now, y'all.
Yeah.
I love it. It's Year of the Wizard.
Year of the Wizard.
2016.
Well, we hope you enjoy this episode coming live with each other in the park and all the noises that come with the park.
Enjoy it.
There's a motorcycle.
There's a child.
We're live in the park, and that guy was just mesmerized by...
Well, you know, there's a baby crying.
It's baby crying. It's Easter right now.
There were adorable twins ran past us in bonnets with their little baskets.
There's a woman drinking a beer.
Where?
Don't stare.
I want to look.
It's like noon at Dolores Park right now, and it's Easter, and I just realized this. Luckily, there's a Hunky Jesus competition.
Every year it happens.
Every year, a Hunky Jesus competition happens here in Dolores Park, and Aneke and I were coming here, we're like, oh, fuck.
I know.
But luckily, it's been so big that I got moved to Golden Gate Park.
So we're free from that.
We're free from that.
But there's still a lot of activity going on. There's a drum circle happening.
We're kind of in the center of Dolores Park. To my right, we see the gay beach. There's the gay fruit shelf.
But it's not, it's still early.
Because the gays were out partying last night, so I guess they haven't made it to the beach yet.
There's a hammock over there. I see some hammocks. There's a slightly nude guy just behind us.
There's a naked guy. Everybody, I wish we could video this, and I feel we're like live reporting from like Baghdad or something.
We're in the trenches, you guys.
Yeah,
we're witnessing it all.
There's the hacky sack people.
There's two guys dressed the same that are playing with these ball things.
Oh, I see a gay. I see a gay and with the shorts. They're coming.
He has a nice white shorts and some food.
There's some children over there, which
there's
is great.
There's a man in a vest.
The hipsters are over there to the left.
There's
far away from them.
Gold balloons that spell something. I think it spells safe.
And there's,
why does it spell sage?
Because they want you to see the sage. And there's, Anekate, how many, do you see the black people?
It was only us for a long time until...
It's like how you're whispering.
Right before we started, because they might hear us.
Who cares?
I don't want them to be weird.
I want you to tune in. They're leaving.
Two very young, handsome men passed us. Dressed very sharply, and then that's about it.
In the
whole park, there's four of us.
Speaking of, I got off the BART train yesterday, so I just arrived here in San Francisco yesterday.
Welcome back.
I'm back. Surprise trip, because I now work for the tech industry.
You have to be here.
I left San Francisco, and now I got a job in New York working for TaskRabbit, and I run orientations for them.
Nice.
They flew me back here, spur of the moment, to run orientations here. I got off the BART train, and I was like, where do black people? I got off
on
the mission. They're
gone. They're in Oakland. They're in Pittsburgh. They're not even in Oakland anymore. They're in Concord and Pittsburgh.
Oh, God. It was so, because I live in Harlem and it's just such diversity.
Yeah.
And it was it was shocking.
James, I'm just holding it down for all of us here now.
It's just you.
Just me. Floating in the land by myself.
So speaking of black things, I was walking through the Castro. I was catching up with some friends.
Not a lot of black people there, but all right.
No, but there's a new business. It's on the corner of, I think it's 16th. And market in
Black
the Castro.
Emporium?
It is called...
Oh, you have their card.
I have their business card. I was like, I need some coffee. And then I turned left, and there was this new coffee shop.
Mm.
Two black people working in there.
What?
And sadly, like, I didn't even think... And they're like these hip black, you know, two hip, like, black people.
Like us.
Look like they're transplanted from Berkeley or something.
Okay.
And so they worked there, and she was like, hi, I'm Teresa, I'm the owner. And she shook my hand, she just talked to me, and she was like, I was like, you own this? She's like, this is me. And I'm like...
She said, this is me.
Like, the emancipation of Mimi.
I want to do this forever, for anything. And okay, is that your car? This is me. Is this where you work? And okay, this is me.
This is me.
I like your sweater. Well, this is me.
It's like not quite a defense, but it's just putting up a barrier, so in case you want to get, like, and you want to try to attack me, you can't.
You can't.
Because this is me.
Because this is me.
So, Teresa, this is me. It's called Wildcraft Coffee.
Ooh, I gotta go there.
So, I encourage everybody, please go there. It's brand new. It's black, queer-owned. She made sure to tell me that.
Nice.
And then she was like, and that's Jordan. Well, he's not queer, but he's black, and he's here. And
that's like me. That's how you are with the neck. With
the
neck.
The
oh, there's a neck. She's black,
but she's not queer. But she's here.
But she's
like, yeah, we love it.
She's here.
So, and I just think, like, you know, wanting to support not only black, like, black queer business, which doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Especially not here in the Bay Area, which is weird.
Remember how we were talking about the weed business and how black people weren't involved in that either?
Yes. So please go. It's at 2299 Market Street, corner of Noe and Market, Wildcraft Coffee. She wants to be a place for, like, artists to come in as well.
I love it.
Like, she just wants to make it. They're going to have an opening in June, but they're already open now.
Nice.
Go there. So, yeah.
Oh, yay. Oh, one thing that I wanted to bring up. There's this thing called Time Hop. It is a app for your phone where you pretty much get reminders of things that you posted or people posted on your wall in the past.
I also feel like we just opened up with commercials.
I know. But there's a reason why I'm bringing up Time Hop. Because this morning I looked at it and I was like, oh, let me just see what was posted on my wall a few years ago. And I just want to point out that 6 years ago, you posted on my wall.
Was I drunk?
I don't know, because you need to help me decipher this.
Oh, God.
Actually, it was, 8 years ago.
Okay, even
you posted this.
Or later.
James Arthur posted, guess who did some twisty twists?
I did. I was going through, like, a hair phase.
Is that hair?
I was hair.
Oh, okay.
A little anticlimactic. I was trying to twist my hair like you. That was 8 years ago.
Guess who did some twisty twists?
Yeah, I was just in graduate school leaving, and I had grown out my hair. So that
Jesus.
Was about my hair, and I asked you about
and we
it.
Just recently figured out that we've known each other for 13 years.
13 years, y'all. Like, we're
preteens now.
We're now preteens. Our friendship is a teenager going through puberty.
It's awkward. We have an awkward stage of our friendship.
I got my acne, and...
I got some back name.
It is. It's nice being... You know, I gotta say this.
Sorry, I got distracted by the kid hitting the ground with his lacrosse stick.
Only in San Francisco.
You can't pick that ball up by hitting it on the ground,
it,
sir.
Just whacking it.
Excuse me, sir.
He makes his own rules. I miss this. So coming back here, my new homes are San Francisco, Amsterdam. And I said to my boyfriend, I was like,
yes.
I have two homes. And he was like, yeah. He's like, what about New York? I was like, okay, yeah, I'll throw New York in there.
New York is just a resting place.
It's a place where I work. It's where my business is. But I got to tell you, we're 9 hours apart, and
it's bootsy as hell.
We were able to do the 5 and 6. We still are, but, like, it's a challenge. You know what helps us?
What?
The couples app. I feel like everything's just a commercial.
What's a couples app now?
We have, my boyfriend and I, Jerome, we have a couples app. It is an app just for couples. We just had to sit next to the black folks.
Who plan their music.
So we're going to see music all in the background of this entire thing.
I'm going to lay down.
We're probably just going to, like, move around. Anyways, we use this app called Couples App. You can only use it with one other person.
Oh, shit.
It's your own... And I guess just lounging, holding her mic, looking sexy at me.
I'm trying to listen to your Couples App commercial.
Anyways, you can only use it with one other person. You can... FaceTime, you can send videos.
For free?
You can send videos, you can text message, you can live draw together.
Why would you want to do that?
Because that way you're connecting with each other and, like, you draw pictures together. I draw a smiley face and you draw a penis.
I was going to say, all I would draw is dicks.
Yeah, we did draw a few dicks.
Okay, you got to draw a dick.
We're two boys. Like, I mean,
I'm a girl and I like drawing dicks.
Everybody
fun.
Loves dicks.
Drawing a vagina is way too complicated.
Ladies are complicated.
And
I mean, where does
clitoris
it, where does it begin and end? I don't know.
A dick is just like, here's a little dick and two circles for balls.
And you could also do a thing called a thumb kiss, where you put your thumb. He'll see my thumb, and he tries to match my thumb to his, and it'll vibrate.
Cute. Oh, it vibrates?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, is that your penis?
I know. Let me just sit on this for a minute. Ew! We're in public.
There's children. Well, are you getting ready for your wedding?
Yeah, you know I am. And you know you're coming back here in about a month.
I am, yeah. So I had this surprise trip, and then I'll be back here again.
God, can you believe it's in a month I'm getting married? I'm so freaked out.
Can you believe?
No.
Okay.
I still got things I need to do.
Like what?
Boring shit, like write names on table cards and do table numbers and...
You can hire a TaskRabbit person to do that. To do shit you don't want to do.
Am I feeling another commercial coming on right now?
I feel like I came back to San Francisco and just sold out. We're reporting live just to do commercials for everybody.
One thing I am noticing, speaking of another commercial, what's this on your keychain right here?
My Planet Fitness card? Planet Fitness. And you know what? I go to the dopest Planet Fitness in Harlem.
Now you're into Planet Fitness?
I am, because all of the other ones are shit, but I go to the one that's nice. There's even one here in San Francisco, Dumb Hours. It closes at like 9. I was going to go today. It opens at like 11 a.m. and closes, at noon. That's... Opens at 11 a.m. closes
what?
At noon.
What? An hour?
I think so. It's Planet Fitness.
That's ridiculous. Mine is 24 hours.
Oh, there's a 24. The one I go to is 24 hours. I jog alongside the Hudson River as the sun rises in the morning.
You are so New York. Excuse.
It's pretty amazing.
It's just excuse moi.
Yeah, you're excused.
Ooh, I see some beers coming out.
Uh-oh.
We smoked some weed, too, earlier.
And it's, I gotta remind you, it's only noon, everybody.
Oh, is there a photo shoot going on?
There's a photo shoot. San Francisco's getting it going.
She didn't take her lens cap off. She just took it off
right now. We should instruct her. She's got a furry puppy.
That puppy's just all up in the business right now.
Absolutely. Should we get into the episode?
Let's get into the episode.
I think you're up first.
What?
I can't wait. I'm touching myself. I'm feeling myself. There's a bird.
Ew.
I just wanted to shit on me.
Ew, gosh.
This was a bad idea.
I know.
Hi.
Oh.
How are you?
Hi.
We have a visitor.
Are you? Can I get off?
Just recording a podcast. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have time for like a 2-minute interview?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should hit pause.
We'll just keep recording.
No.
It's a project on feminism.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Love it.
I'm just trying to take photos of different women around the city. Show that not all women are the same.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Box definition.
Awesome.
And I'm mom taking notes.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm Lucy.
Hi, nice
Hi,
to
Lucy.
Meet you.
What's your name?
Eneke.
How do you spell that?
N-N-E-K-A-Y.
Awesome. And your favorite color?
Color? Ooh, let's say purple. Yeah, let's go with purple.
Today it's purple.
Yeah, today it's purple.
And, being a woman, how has that affected your life, negatively or positively, different from if you are now?
Well, let's see. I love living in my femininity, you know? I feel like it empowers me in a sense that I love just, like, being a woman, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I like how I look, I like how I feel, I like how some days I can really rev it up and some days I can tone it down. It's impacted it negatively because of, you know, I'm sure that there have been certain jobs that I haven't gotten. There have been probably other opportunities that haven't been given to me that I haven't known about, but I, you know, I'm sure. I was a boss for a minute and I wasn't taken as seriously as I probably should have been. But I wouldn't give it up. I just love being a woman.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, nice. Right on.
And you guys take a photo?
Yeah, sure. Awesome, nice to meet you, Lucy.
Have a good day.
Bye, take care, good luck. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, we're still recording.
I never
right
hit.
Oh,
never
you
hit
recorded
pause.
The whole thing.
Recorded that whole thing.
Oh, that's cute.
How was that? Aneke just got interviewed. Like, we were about to close up this section, and Aneke just got interviewed.
For feminism.
For feminism, yeah.
I love it. It's so good. Too bad I didn't really know what I was talking about. I wish I had a moment to kind of.
You did.
Gather. I just said some generic shit about being a woman.
It's hard. It's a tough life for a lady pimp.
Stop.
It's a tough life for a lady pimp. How come you didn't also kind of. So this young, you know, young girl, which
budding
is amazing.
Budding feminist.
She's like
so
16
cute.
Years old with her mom, just interviewed
so
Aneke. And she asked her, like, what's it like to be a woman?
Yes.
Is that what she said? I wasn't listening.
She was like,
women talk.
She, like, basically asked me what I like about being a woman and what are some of the things that have been problematic about being a woman, I guess. Something
Sorry,
like that.
Dude's
She's
doing push-ups, so I stopped paying attention.
These are these two black guys that
the
are so hot.
The two black guys in the park.
Doing push-ups, got their radio
doing
playing.
Push-ups, got the radio playing.
Is that a black guy?
No, he's just got a good tan.
Oh, there's a black lady over there. Hi. And a black guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
natural hair.
Now five in the
natural
park.
Natural hair duo.
I noticed, though, not putting you on blast, but you... What about, like, the intersectionality of being a black woman? Did you want
to
educate her?
She was a baby feminist, and we were recording a podcast, and I didn't want to give her a lecture.
True.
She was just being cute. She took my picture. I almost said my favorite color was galaxy, and I'm glad
I
didn't.
I thought you were going to
I almost did.
Space, purple.
But I didn't want to be too crazy, because she's probably going to get some weird devs up in here.
She probably will. I think we teased her earlier. That was the girl that you said she needed to take her lens cap off. And little did you
know,
16-year-old budding feminism.
And she's being so cute.
She is adorable.
With her
mom.
Good
job. And, well, I think it's great that these kids are out there in some ways having these conversations. Or do I? I don't know.
Is
it too soon?
No.
Is it too early?
No, not at all.
I'm staying with this guy, Stephen LeMay, who's... I'll talk about him later, but in a good way. He's got some perspectives about RuPaul Drag Race.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, like, you know, he talked about, like, when did I really understand, like, racism. Growing up, I understood racism to be, like, the KKK and, like, saying the N-word. But now we know that it's embedded, it's systemically in our culture.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand that until much later in my life.
Oh, interesting. My
and
parents
in some
always
ways,
told
I feel
me about
like,
it.
I feel like I know so much more about racism now than I do when I did when I was a kid.
Mm.
Learning about, like, the history of it and, like,
right.
You know, like, just how embedded it is.
Yeah.
Understanding it into, like, some levels of, like, okay, there's, like, you get it on some levels of, like, oh, look, that TV show is all white people.
Right.
But just, like, knowing, like, how...
I think it's, well, it depends.
And when
it comes
when
in
do
stages.
You learn it for kids? Oh, okay.
Because when I was a kid, my parents did a really, really good job about this. They... would, if there was something weird, they would sit me down and talk to me about it. Like, if there was something weird I remember in Dumbo, the crows, which hella racist,
yeah.
You guys. They're called Jim Crow.
Oh,
one guy's
shit.
Name is literally Jim Crow.
I did not
crows.
Fucking realize
and
that.
And they're all like, yes, you know, like, total black stereotype. And I...
Kind of like in Transformers.
Yes.
It's like the black one who dies. Jazz.
See? Why is his name Jazz? And that is current and recent. So, my mom would sit me down and be like, well... how is this problematic? Let's talk about it. We'll talk about a little bit, touch on it, but not give me the whole history of it. And the older I got, the more in depth it got with my parents telling me.
So you were,
and so it helps.
You were aware of it as a kid growing up and not, do you think like, and I guess it's better to, in awareness, I think it all comes back to awareness, like how it's helpful. Because you don't have to let it necessarily dictate everything, but just to be aware, like, this is how things are, this is how things work. It allows you to, like, navigate through this, and you also know growing up, like, I'm gonna have to work harder,
right? Exactly.
I don't like to just have things that are handed to me, or there's certain privileges that you just don't have,
right? Exactly. And kind of having it, like, slow drip leaked onto you as a kid, it's not so much as a shock,
and so it's not just like drenched onto you,
where you're like, what?
Oh, god, everything's fucked.
What?
Yeah,
but Blackish talked about this too in an episode,
Blackish
which was really
did,
good.
Yeah, and I think we touched on it too earlier.
We did.
So, all right, well, I want to go to your corner.
Let's enough go to my corner.
Unless anybody else wants to interview us.
Oh, hello.
Anybody?
We're open. We're free.
Anybody?
There's a pinata of Donald Trump being hung up right now.
Ooh, we're gonna go and hit it for a bit and then we'll be back.
Is that a ball? Oh, look at that, look at that dog.
I want to go hit the pinata.
Okay. Hey, James.
Hey, girl. We still in the park.
We are still in the park. There's some squeaky toys. More dogs are coming in. People
There's
are
more people.
Setting up. San Francisco is waking up.
It is waking up. We are hungover and ready to get drunk and high again. Way to go, San Francisco.
Happy
Keep it classy.
Easter.
Happy Easter. This is for Jesus.
Okay, so in my corner, are you ready?
I'm ready. So is that dog.
The dog is like, I don't care who you are. I want
He's like, I don't
that.
Care if you have a podcast.
Here it comes.
Oh, here
hey,
it comes.
Puppy.
Hey, puppy. Get out of that juice.
Uh-oh. Okay, so here's my corner. I'm celebrating melanin.
I thought you were going to say Melanie.
It's like,
Melanie.
Melanie.
My boss.
Really?
My boss's name is Melanie.
What's up, girl?
Hey,
how's it going?
We're celebrating you.
So, melanin, it is what makes us dark and beautiful.
Oh.
Both you and I are brown skin beauties.
Hell, fuck yeah.
And we're very proud of it.
Fuck yeah. I'm sexy as hell. I love my chocolate skin.
Right?
Love my chocolate dick.
Oh, that got freaky.
So does my boyfriend.
Okay.
He's going to be so mad at me.
Okay. So... melon is what makes your penis brown.
I'm recovering from that one, by the way.
Continue. I am.
It makes my penis brown,
it
the
does.
Melanin.
Because
melanin all over my dick.
Yes. It all up in you. All up in me, too.
Okay.
It's what makes people brown. It's essentially what protects people from the sun. So the closer you get to the equator, the hotter the place is, the more sunlight you get, the people are going to be browner. That's just the way it is. That's called
nature.
So like
nature. Penguins.
Are in Antarctica.
Okay, so that's why they're so light.
That's why they're birds and not a part of this right now.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're minorities. Some of them are gay, so I don't know if we want to touch on that.
Okay, so I'm bringing up melanin because throughout history in several different countries around the world, there's always been a bias towards dark-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
In the black community, the lighter you are, you get more light privilege.
Yeah.
The darker you are, it's seen as derogatory, like with Nina Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, Viola Davis.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that she isn't beautiful, and that's partly because she's so dark.
Right.
But this isn't just for the black community.
It's for everybody, because even in Asia, like, they have, like, they lighten their skin.
Exactly.
Like, and other, I heard my friend Steven, who I'm staying with right now, mm-hmm. he was telling me about how, like, there's sometimes, like Afro-Latinos,
mm-hmm.
like, even, like, there's racism there between, like, I mean, even down in
light
South America,
dark.
Light and dark. Like,
yep.
It's all over.
It's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And one place, and like you said, people lighten their skin, there's a lot of bleaching.
Bleaching.
So it's illegal in America now, thank God, because
oh, good.
It makes your skin really fragile, and it's awful.
Yeah.
But it's still legal in Asia, it's still legal in, like, Jamaica, it's still legal in Africa, and a lot of people, like, bleach their skin, and then their skin starts to crack, and it's really painful, and it doesn't look good. You look all pasty and ashy,
thank
and it's
you.
Weird. Thank
Didn't
you.
Little Kim do that?
I think so, yeah. A lot of people did.
She's
does
a mess.
It. So there is a product called Fair and Lovely over in India that people use.
Mm.
And it's a bleaching product, and there is now a campaign going on in India, and also it's come over here to America, called Unfair and Lovely. So hashtag Unfair and Lovely, and it's all about dark skinned beauties posting pictures of themselves saying unfair and lovely and talking about how much they love how beautiful they are.
That's beautiful.
So PAX,
should we take a photo and tag it there too?
Yes, because we are both dark and lovely.
Yeah.
So, and we're not even that dark, but see, there's that colorism
even
coming
that,
in.
Like,
I gotta
like,
say
as
that.
If even, like, if it even like matters, like I understand it. Yeah, like
yeah.
It's, you know, there used to be the brown paper bag test
yes.
back in like the 50s or 60s.
I would say 20s to now, probably.
Still now, like if you're lighter than a brown paper bag, then you were considered like
beautiful,
and you could pass, and you were like
you
get more
acceptance.
You get
to be acceptance. A part of like a society
totally.
Or whatever.
But like, she's too dark.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Get that darkie away from me.
Get.
It's really messed up. So,
did I ever talk about, never mind.
What were you going to say?
Randomly segue into something else.
Okay.
Did I ever talk about pools and black people? I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We talked about that.
The myth around black people can't swim?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can swim and I can swim. I'll cut this.
I don't really know how to swim that well. But
it's not your fault. It's
no,
the system.
It's not. It's the system. But a lot of people tend to, like, it's like racism within the race.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is just, you know, the whole white privilege bleeding into
right.
everybody else.
Right.
So Pax Jones, a black student at University of Texas, she actually, she's the one that created the photo series.
Oh.
And because there was the hashtag unfair and lovely that started with South Asian sisters, Marushi and Yanushi Yogaraja.
Yeah.
But Pax Jones, the black student from University of Texas, created the photo series of women looking beautiful. And especially India. You look at Bollywood, you look at all of the different advertisements.
They're very light skinned.
Very light.
And then you go to India and there's actually like different all kinds of different shades.
They are dark.
And you don't see any of those people on
right.
the television and in their movies, yeah.
Exactly. And so it's all about, you know,
See, that's also because, like, wasn't India, like, occupied by England for the longest time?
Hello,
so,
that's
yeah.
probably where it started.
Mm-hmm.
And what where it started for black people, just so people can know the history of it, is the slavery. So if you were lighter, you got more opportunities for easier slave jobs. Like
yeah.
you were
you'd work inside
slave.
The house. And
yeah.
then you also were out there in the sun.
Right.
So you kept that light complexion.
You kept that light complexion.
Keep passing.
And the dark black people were out
in the fields.
Doing
fucking
field work.
Working it.
So that's kind of where it all stems
work,
from.
Work. That's weird when
no,
you put it to that song.
That.
I'm sorry.
Let's
that got
not.
Weird.
We're distracted. We're having too much fun
too
with
much
our giggles
fun.
Out here.
Too giggle. It's like giggle pants corner.
Talking about serious shit.
And I'm like, work. Can I tell you this last night?
What happened?
So I went to Club Oasis last night because that's where my peoples are.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I come, oh God, I'm upset too. First of all, I come back the one weekend that I'm like, hey everybody, I'm back. Mm-hmm. all the queens are in Reno this weekend.
Ew, 100 why in Reno?
Queens, because every Easter weekend, all the drag queens from San Francisco board two. It's the mothership to Reno.
Why Reno?
Because it's random, and they go every Easter. And at this point, it's been happening so much that every year, like now, like, and they stop at a McDonald's and like Truckee every year,
and they like,
and it's become an attraction that they're like, the drag queens are coming, the drag queens are coming,
are they
and
in
they're
full
excited.
Hair and makeup?
Full hair and makeup.
That is uncomfortable.
Drag queens of all kinds, like some are wasted and drunk, and some are just, and they go to Reno and then they perform. So I happened to come the one weekend when they
Everybody's gone. Oh no.
And so they have this show called Mother every week at Oasis.
Heclina started it, right?
Heclina started it. I shouldn't say this. I'm
you
just going to say,
cut it out.
Every time that like Heclina's like, I'm not hosting, do whatever show you want.
Yeah.
Always tends to be like a black artist.
I don't even know what to say about
it's
that.
Like Nicki Minaj, it was Nicki Minaj night. She never hosts when it's like, or I will say this, she hates Britney Spears.
Okay.
So one time she wasn't there, she's like, do the Britney night, I'm not there.
All right, then there you go.
But it was like, so then it was also this party called Swagger.
Swagger.
And it happens a monthly party that they got thrown on. It was like jam packed. And long story long, to come to the point when that song Work 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 came on.
Yeah.
I've never heard people erupt in like a
people.
Yeah.
People like, there love was that song.
A riot of fun and dance. People rioted with dance last night when that song came
good.
On.
You
and
know why? Fun. You know why I think it's
that's
so
Jamaican
good?
Jamaican patois.
I was gonna say Jamaican patois.
Because it just like
everybody
it,
loves
it
a good Jamaican
everyone's
patois.
Soul. Anyways, I derailed the conversation.
It is chicken soup for the patois soul.
Is someone eating chicken soup? Because it's hot.
Hot. So anyways, before we diverge again, just go onto the Twitters, do a nice little hashtag, unfair and lovely, look at all the beautiful dark skin beauties. If you find yourself thinking like, yeah, dark skin is not attractive to me.
Then stop,
just
because first of all, that's racist.
Question why you think
everything that you just, and like,
you have been brainwashed.
Go back and listen to all our episodes, because if you're thinking that, something, you're not listening. Because
the darker the better, the berry.
The sweeter the juice.
Exactly.
And black don't crack. And once you go black.
You never go back.
I mean, look at our boys.
One's locking it down. I'm in the park looking at the doggies. Shit got packed.
I zoned out because I'm at the park and I wasn't paying attention. And I was like, she's singing.
Oh, here comes the drums.
Here comes the drums.
Not on beat.
No, you guys need to go to practice. The beat is not okay. Oh, coming up next, RuPaul. I just can't take it. There's dogs fighting. There's a woman like, spinning around like Wonder Woman.
They almost ran into us, the dogs.
It's too much. All right.
I'm lounging again. Chicken butt.
You better work. Turn
cover
around.
Cover girl.
Work that magic. Do that thing.
Bada
on
boo,
the
boo,
podcast.
Boo.
Work.
Neither of us know the words.
Work it now. And it's James.
Can't even pretend.
Work that thing. I'm on a podcast. So this is the RuPaul corner. This is a two-part corner segment.
There's a man giving us hella dirty eyes right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, fuck himself. that's right. I have a podcast. I'll say what I want about you. So this the week's episode, I'm going to do a two-part episode about RuPaul.
Two-part episode.
Because I feel like there's so much that RuPaul embodies that is, for one, all the intersectionalities of everything.
Everything.
Everything is all rolled up in one. And RuPaul recently did, I guess RuPaul's Drag Race is approaching its 100th episode.
Damn!
And I think that RuPaul's so interesting because you've got all wrapped up in a burrito. You've got
burrito.
Gender.
Yes.
You've got sexuality.
Yes.
You've got race.
Yes. It's basically Minority Corner in one person.
RuPaul's like a Minority Corner.
I smell weed.
And me too. And we're going to be so high on this episode.
Contact high. Okay.
I'm scared.
No,
you know I get paranoid.
I know. I'm just gonna fall asleep and be like, all right.
So, but also I think RuPaul's interesting because for one, for some of the drag queens who've been in the scene for a while, there's mixed feelings about how it's changing the perceptions of drag culture. And
yeah.
On one end, it's bringing it to mainstream, though RuPaul will say it's not mainstream, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's also. Also, this RuPaul like has a lot of interesting ideas, and some it's like, and then some it's like, I don't know.
RuPaul is divisive. It's really interesting. Actually, my friend Renee posted, because I sent her that interview that we're about to talk about, and she posted a quote from it, and a lot of people were like, yeah, except for one person popped up out of nowhere and was like, I do not like RuPaul, because RuPaul says some racist and sexist things from time to time. And I was like, oh, snap.
Absolutely. So this week, I'm going to kind of just first, we're going to introduce ourselves to RuPaul on this interview that RuPaul did.
Oh,
and I want to break it down in five
hello.
Points that I think are interesting. And we'll kind of talk about it. And then next week, I want to problematize everything that we talked about. We're just going to take it apart
this
in
is
a
what's
different
wrong.
Way. And also, like, and yeah, it's interesting. I've worked with some of the, I don't watch the show.
I've watched it.
I don't, but I work with a lot of the drag queens when I do, like, the Peaches Christ productions.
Yeah. So you know about drag cult. Okay. I remember I came to see you at a show, and I was, and there was a drag queen following you around. No, well, Willem
was weird.
Willem sucks. I will say it. I'm sorry.
I will say it, too. I worked with Willem in Clueless. Willem was Cher.
Yeah.
Didn't come knowing the lines and didn't do the character. It was just Willem on stage being an asshat.
Yeah, and, like, was a jerk when you, like, hey, this is my friend Aneke.
It was just like, do you want to buy a t-shirt?
Yeah.
And also, like, almost got Club Oasis, like, shut down because of some, like,
what?
Singing I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman fisted someone on stage.
Like, literally?
It's illegal.
Like, literally
yes.
put his fist in somebody?
Yes, a go-go dancer.
Yeah. I was not at that show.
Thank God. While singing I'm Not a Girl, I'm Not a Woman live.
That's gross.
Anyways, back
okay,
to RuPaul.
Right.
So the first point I want to talk about is they pretty much talked about, Rue was talking about how drag is, yes.
This is in the Vulture.
This is in the Vulture article interview. So yep. I'm not going to, we don't go over all the things, but I'm going to highlight some of the points that I think were really interesting.
Yes.
So Rue talks about, Rue was asked about, you know, seeing drag as an art form of survival.
Ooh.
Yeah, and Rue was like, it is.
That's the end of the interview.
End of the interview. It is. Next question.
P.S. There's a man hiding behind a tree looking at us right now.
He wants to be on the show. Come on over. Minority Corner is for everybody.
Dolores Park is crazy, y'all.
So drag is a form of survival because each of these kids were little boys, sometimes in small towns, who were alienated and ostracized. And even in the face of such adversity, they prevailed and shine today.
Mm.
So it's a story of strength. And Ruth talks about that's why people are interested in drag queens because
yeah.
like these are people who came out of adversity.
Right, and are clearly given a big middle finger to the system.
Yes, and a big middle finger to like the Matrix, as Rue always referred it to it.
I know, and also a lot of nerdy people referred it to the Matrix. So RuPaul is also an intersection of nerd culture
that's
as well.
That's true, like us.
Yes.
So I... You know, talking about how it saves lives, and Rue was saying that, you know, a lot of these people these drag queens are smart, and they're sensitive,
yeah.
and they see, like, how this planet works, and she's like, you're just like Dorothy, looking behind the curtain saying, wait a minute, you are the wizard? Uh-uh.
I like
and you
that
figure out that
so
it's
much.
All a hoax, that all of this stuff, like, gender and all this stuff, like, it's an illusion.
It's all performative.
Yeah.
I'm performing right now, you're performing right now.
And the next point I thought was interesting, I think this goes for anybody who's sort of a minority or feels ostracized, that the first, like, first, you can get angry about this, that you've been hoaxed.
Yeah.
And that you can get bitter. Mm. Which I feel like I get angry and bitter a lot of times. Even
yeah.
on this podcast, we get angry and bitter.
I feel like it's like one of the
stage.
Stages. Yeah,
the
you gotta go through the bitter stage.
And then the next stage that Rue says is, but then you can take that's another step and move beyond
mm-hmm.
the bitterness. And that's when you realize, oh, I get it. Let's have fun with it. It's all a joke.
Yeah.
You mean I don't have to stick with the one look or whatever? I can shapeshift? So Rue talks about these drag queens as being sort of shapeshifters. And,
yeah.
And a lot of the interview, Rue talks about having just more fun
mm-hmm.
with things.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, and let's try to circle back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's time and place.
I think that there's a time and place. And I definitely do think that there is value in having a laugh and a fun at stuff.
Totally.
Certain things.
To not take things too so seriously. I guess not taking yourself so seriously, but I think it's hard when there's been, like, hurt and pain.
Right. It's weird when there's, like, you want to have a balance, because sometimes you want to laugh at things, and sometimes you need to address it seriously.
True. Yeah. And so then they asked, they said, did drag save your life? And she was like, no, not my life. But she was talking about how, like, it's an escape from, like, the mundane 9-to-5.
Right.
And she's like, that's not living. She's like, that's just part of the Matrix. She's like, drag is punk rock. Because it's not part of the Matrix. She just talked about the Matrix over and over again.
Just latch on to the Matrix,
but she
man.
Said it's not following any rules, boy, girl, black, white, Catholic, Jew, or Muslim. So it's breaking outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something interesting that I'd like to circle back to next week.
Okay,
so
put a pin in it.
And we'll come back to it next week about the shapeshifting and who can shapeshift and what can you shapeshift into. Are we
a
all
werewolf?
You know, we're all Mystique.
Ooh.
But which version, Rebecca Romijn Stamos or Jennifer Lawrence?
Rebecca Romijn.
Me too.
Are you kidding me?
Can I pause talking about X-Men?
Yes, let's do it. Nerd Corner.
They, like, always just showcase, like, Jennifer Lawrence. Like, she's never blue.
She's blue sometimes.
But most of the time, they're like, listen, we got Jennifer Lawrence.
The more popular she got, the less blue she became.
On all of the posters, it's just Jennifer Lawrence hanging out, being like, hey, guys, I'm just a regular person.
I'm like, hey, I'm a blue weirdo.
Like, Rebecca's like, I'll do all of this.
Because by that point, Rebecca Romijn Stamos had enough. Is she still Stamos? Are they still married?
No, just Rebecca Romijn. Mm. She also showed up drunk to the last taping of X-Men.
Not even going to be upset about that,
though. She was like, let's all drink tequila, and then she got injured doing a fight scene.
I mean, she was wasted. The last X-Men's have not been that great, so I don't blame her.
Oh, no, this is the first one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she started off early, still got the job and came back.
She's doing it. She's working well. What was I going to say, though, really quickly about Jennifer Lawrence?
She's just a cool girl.
She's all right.
Everyone's like, she's so cool. Oh, you know what is a great impression of her?
Who?
Ariana Grande. If you have not, please go back SNL. And watch the Ariana Grande SNL episode. She's hilarious. She's cute.
She has that baby voice and that big-ass ponytail, and I can't even handle it.
She looks different if she's not wearing the ponytail.
She looks like a normal girl. She's like Pinocchio. She takes a ponytail down. She's a real girl.
Wait, Pinocchio had a ponytail?
Well, his nose, I don't know.
That was a but okay, yeah,
just
Pinocchio had
it,
a ponytail.
James.
And then when he took it down, he like,
became a real boy.
That's not the story. You need to go back and read that story
what?
Again.
I read it.
I thought you were a librarian.
I read it like, that's the real Grimm brother, Brothers Grimm. That's the real one. Disney changed it.
As they do. They were like, we can't tell the story of gender performance.
They had to...
Gender performance.
See, they took Pinocchio back into the Matrix.
Right. Speaking of the Matrix...
Nice tie-in. We did it. We finally did it. Good segue.
So then they ask, can drag be mainstream? Because, you know, RuPaul's being this, you know, successful show.
Right.
And she's like, no. It will never be mainstream. It is the antithesis of mainstream. And listen, what you're witnessing with drag is the most mainstream it will ever get. But it will never be mainstream. Because... it's completely opposed to fitting in.
Yes, yeah.
But I think it's like it's mainstream for the at least the queer community.
Yeah,
like we're seeing
knows
ourselves
about it.
On TV and seeing.
Maybe Rue is trying to say that the queer community will never be mainstream.
And that like part of what we do is breaking away from mainstreamness. Like
maybe,
part of
yeah.
especially queer culture specifically is mm-hmm. always about breaking outside of societal norms because mm-hmm. the things that we want fit outside of puritanical ideas.
Ooh, look at you.
And, like, you know, like, we've talked about this before, but this country is so puritanly based that there's a lot of problems with that, and the queer culture pushes us to move past those ideas.
Here, I'm going to challenge you.
I love a challenge.
Would you say that a lot of some of the norms have bled back into the queer community with, say, marriage
sure.
and role?
Sure, absolutely. Like, but I think that, like that also has to do with, like, how people were raised in their different families and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still, like, again, I talked about this before, but just because we're getting gay marriage does not mean that we're... you know, being accepted, that our rights are trying to be still being taken away left and right.
Exactly.
And we still have, you know, all these homeless youth.
Right.
And all these, like, you know, the queer, these transgender women being murdered and all kinds
it's
of
awful.
Stuff. So, yes and no. Like, we still need to, like, look at the work that needs to be done.
Amen to
so
that.
So, also talking about, because drag is about owning, like, yourself. And this is a beautiful quote that I think she says. She says, you know, this is who I really am. I'm real. I'm saying... no, I'm not real. I'm actually everything.
Oh, and yes. I love this quote.
She
this
says,
quote's so good.
I'm actually everything and nothing at all.
Right.
And I kind of want to, like, live by that.
I love that.
Because, like, think about this. Like, this universe has been around for, like, millions of years.
Millions of universes.
And there's, like, you look up at the sky. Like, right now, let's take a look. Let's do an exercise. Everybody do this with us. Look up at the sky.
Okay.
Look at it. It's hella big.
It's blinding my eyes.
And, you know, then, like, look around you. There's all these other people. And we're all going to be dead one day.
We're all stardust.
And, like, yeah. And, like, it just, you look about how big this universe really is. Mm-hmm. And it's like you bring yourself to, like, the smallest level inside your soul. Like, you are important and you're also not important.
Exactly.
You're both of those at the same time.
Exactly. So, you're everything and nothing at the same time.
So I think it helps for me
it's
to sometimes to take myself a little less seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, can you release some of the hurt that's hurting you?
It's, like... there's a time and place to be serious, and there's a time and place to just kind of have a laugh.
Yes.
You know? Like, for the example of us all being, like, stardust. Like, we were once stardust, we're going to be stardust again.
Yeah. And I want to have a laugh at that person over there touching his crotch.
Or these people making out in front of us right now.
Get a room. Oh, and then they asked Rue about Jimmy Fallon and lip sync battle and all that stuff.
Lip sync for your life.
And Rue is like, fuck that mess. She's like, because he talks about how straight culture constantly steals from gay culture. And, like, we've been lip syncing forever.
It's
and
true.
Now all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to take this and do it.
Here's my other thing, though.
Hmm.
I'm just challenge Nancy right now. And you know I'm on your
you
side.
Mean, challenge Charlene.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Nancy.
Nancy doesn't challenge.
She just is.
But she's Charlene
like,
does.
Challenge Charlene. Would you say that all cultures give and take from each other?
True. I guess it's just it's always hard, though, when it's the mainstream culture that seems
right.
to take. And just always give credit and look
like,
back.
Like, why aren't they giving credit? That would be tight if they gave credit. Or, like, invited, like, fucking RuPaul to come and be like, do this.
Right.
Or a drag queen.
And RuPaul talks about this. RuPaul doesn't get, and this is why drag queen stuff is still not mainstream. RuPaul's never been on David Letterman, never been on Ellen.
I know, that's such bullshit.
So it's sort of like...
It's weird.
But, like, that's, like, we're not there yet. Like, you can't even get RuPaul's been around since, like, the 90s. 1992
right?
has never been on any of these talk shows. And even on Ellen.
Which
that,
is
like, people
upsetting.
Don't want to talk about it. People don't want to, like, see these guests on. Like, it's too much yet. You know, still stay in your corner. And, yeah, so then Ru also says, you know, this so-called Will and Grace acceptance era.
Right.
It's just fucking posing. She says,
right.
things haven't changed that much. You see it in politics right now. And that's the fucking truth, people. And you know people... will have you think, oh, we're fashion, we're gay, that's my gay over there. It's like, no.
I hate that.
We're still very, very primitive.
Right. And the ownership, I really want to call all you supposed straight lady allies, stop using my gays. Please stop it.
Yeah, we don't
like
it.
They are not your
I don't say my straight
pit crew.
I don't say my, yeah.
Right? I, like, get a shiver down my spine whenever I hear a lady say some shit like that because it's... weird. It's not good.
No, it's not. No.
That's my PSA to all straight lady allies.
Stop doing it. And stop coming to our clubs and owning it like it's yours.
Right?
It's not. So the other thing that Ruth says, too, that I think is really interesting, and I want to call out the gay folks about this, is she says, gay people accept a straight pop star over a gay pop star.
Mm.
Or they will accept a straight version of a gay thing because there's still so much self-loathing.
Interesting.
Because where are the gay male pop stars? Like, I think it's...
Adam Lambert, but he's just barely hanging
but even
on.
Even then, like, the gay community's not like, ooh, I want to fuck him. They want to, like, fuck... I was going to say Ricky Martin, but he's gay, so that's fine.
Well, yeah.
But, like, they want to, like, fuck, like, you know, Tom Hardy or something.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, this sort of, like, this straight male that we're, like, obsessing over. It's like,
right.
let's obsess over our... I'm not attracted to straight men. Like, I don't think it's sexy. I don't want to, like... Not really. Like,
yeah.
I want to fuck, you know, gay people. Or just... I'm not interested in fucking straight people or, like, making out with them. Like, I'm not interested. And, like, it's so... And also, like, it's like, you know... Why don't we obsess over, like, hot gay male pop stars?
Right.
Like, and, like, even, like, at, like, you know, Club Oasis, like, why does there have to be that performance of a woman?
Mm.
I don't understand why, actually, like, I couldn't just get up there, lip sync, be all sexy, take my shirt off and dance like a Backstreet Boy.
Right.
And people should fawn over that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we still need, there's still that self-loathing, I think, in a sense that, like, there still needs to be that performance of a woman for us to be able to accept and cheer each other on.
Interesting. I think the performance
Unless
of a woman at this point is more of, like, a tradition, right?
But, like, how come gay men can't get up and perform? And we cheer it on and want to touch ourselves. We only do it when it's like go-go dancing, when it's like shut up and dance, and then it's about the sex. But like, I would want to obsess over some gay male pop star.
Right.
Like Nick Jonas.
He's not gay though.
Okay.
What about Adam Lambert? You totally keep glossing over Adam Lambert. You're proving yourself wrong right now, James.
Oh, I know. I'm doing
know.
It. I'm like, yeah, Adam Lambert.
I know.
Who I almost met. I tell you, I went to college with his brother. His brother was almost my next door neighbor in college.
You mean,
Neil Lambert.
You mean we went to college with his brother?
I gave his brother an F because he didn't do his assignment. I was running a theater company and he didn't do his job.
You need
and I
to
gave
do
him
your
an
work.
F. And then I was supposed to meet Adam Lambert and
because
Neil was
this.
Coming. And
I
Neil Neil's
this.
Like, my brother's coming. And I got wasted and ran away. And I just remember seeing Adam's feet and, like, it was bad. I got nervous.
Sometimes it happens.
But yes, even I'm proving as, you know, even me, I kept glossing over Adam Lambert. It's true.
It's interesting. It's weird what we, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the Unfair and Lovely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We internalize the majority. We internalize the bias, and then we inflict it against ourselves.
Yeah, we still use it to hurt ourselves.
Right?
Like, we're like, I feel like gay men are still obsessing over, like, that's like I talked about earlier, that straight image as opposed to like, yeah, but we're beautiful and we're lovely.
Right.
Sure, Adam Lambert's a little, you know, all over the gender spectrum, but that's sexy. That should
be. That's him.
And I should want to, like, you know, wink off to that.
Being everything and nothing at the same time.
True. All right, everybody. All my gays, go masturbate to Adam Lambert. Is that what we want?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, no.
The next one, language. I want to talk about this, the third point.
Yes.
Language.
Yes.
So this ruse talks about language, and I think it's interesting, and I have many a feeling about this, and this is going to come back next week.
We've talked about language before, too.
And I say language does matter, but Rue is like, yeah. It doesn't.
Mm,
maybe it's somewhere in the middle.
She's gotten into trouble about the tranny issue, right?
Yes.
And I'm sorry for saying that. Sorry.
No, yeah.
Okay.
But like, and see, but like, we are like, ooh, I'm sorry, and Rue's like, whatever. She doesn't fucking care. But,
right.
So it's interesting. So Rue says this, boy, I really love corn dogs.
Personally, I do not like corn dogs. Every time I go over to my dad's house, he always tries to offer me a corn dog, and I hate it.
I wish that was just the conversation. Rue, what do you feel about language? Boy, I really love corn dogs.
End of interview.
No, what she said is, boy, I really love corn dogs. It doesn't mean that I actually love a corn dog, because love has nothing to do with corn dogs, but it's just language.
Love, but you want to like and eat. Got
she
it.
Talks about it's a state of mind. You take for granted that my intention is really to express that I enjoy them a lot, and I want to eat one right now. That's what it's meant to do. But if you have an agenda and you want to take my sentence apart, you could certainly say, oh my God, you love a corn dog? What do you mean by that? Do you want to marry it? Do you want to put it inside of you? It's like, that's not what I meant. You actually know that's not what I meant, and now you're using it because you have an agenda.
This
so
is
you can take attention for whatever reason you have. I agree. Why is it problematic?
Well, just for an example, I was watching a documentary last night on Allen Iverson, who is a basketball player. So Allen Iverson basically, when he was in high school, got into a fight with a bunch of people in his community that, James, what are you doing?
Keep going.
James keeps moving my mic around on me. So basically, long story short, he got into a fight because a bunch of white teens called him and his friends the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And what the white community was trying to say was, oh, it's just words. It's just words. Whatever. If they called us a cracker, who cares? But it's different. When a word is loaded with so much history and hate behind it, it's different than using it in using another word.
But Rue is saying that it's the intention behind it. So if the intention's not there...
Sometimes the word speaks for itself because of the history behind it.
But should we move then to a point of... You know, I am everything and nothing at the same time. Like,
yeah.
I am not this word. Like, just to let it go.
I think it's one of those things where it's like...
Let it go.
You take responsibility for what you have to say. If you said something and other people get upset, then that's just what it is.
Right. And so Rue had this whole entire thing, because she used to have this segment called She-Mail.
Right.
And the trans community and allies were like, we don't like this, this is inappropriate, because of the negative connotation behind it. And Rue, for her, was just having fun with language.
Right.
And it got taken off the show, and Rue's like, I didn't do that. The network cut that out. Like, it wasn't her.
Right.
It was not by her choice. She wasn't too happy with it. She was trying to have fun with language. And she was like, well, don't take it to her. That was not her intention. And she calls it, people are being, you know, trigger happy and reinforcing your own victimhood.
Interesting.
Reinforcing your own victimhood, your own perception of yourself as a victim. You look for anything that will reinforce that. So I think it's interesting because... You know, if I am running around saying, hey, that's hurting me, I'm still holding on to that hurt.
True.
And maybe trying to just heal it and just, so maybe it's both ends.
Like, it's both ends.
And so a lot of, and that's the thing, it's very problematic of what she's saying. It's very challenging to me because I want to just be like, no, we, you know, need to fight, da da da.
Yeah.
But maybe, and I'm not releasing anybody from responsibility for saying hurtful things, but
right.
I maybe got to work to a spot of like not letting shit hurt me, I guess.
I think that's good.
I don't want to be a victim anymore.
I think it should be a balance of both.
We are getting surrounded.
We're getting surrounded by the noisiest people right now.
It is going to happen, so.
We knew this was going to happen.
We knew.
These ladies need to, you are right in each other's face.
You don't have to be that loud. Quiet down. I get it. You have pizza.
Eat your pizza and be quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a pigeon. Anyway, so what I was saying is I think it needs to come in both angles. One angle should be, yes, you need to release your pain. You need to not let everything affect you and enjoy yourself for who you are. But I think you also need to have compassion.
For other people.
And realize empathy. That what you might say might hurt.
And I think empathy, I think if the world had more empathy, if everybody was able to empathize more with other people, if we, you know, saw ourselves and other people, or tried to put ourselves in other people's shoes,
right.
we would have more of that compassion.
Exactly.
And I think that's just what it's asking is, like, you know, you don't have to be a fucking asshole to everybody.
No.
Or just like, I want to say these things. I don't care if it's hurt. If, you know, if it's, I think it's dual end. Like, if you stop saying hurtful things to me, I have opportunity to heal those wounds.
Right. It's like, I really hate the person that's like, I'm just being real. Like, I'm just telling like it like
Trump
it
people.
Is.
Like,
you're being a jerk.
It, like, yeah. Just, yeah. Like, let these wounds heal. I'll do my work and I'll do my job.
Right.
You know, I won't run around trying to be the, you know, I'm not trying to be the PC police and
no.
the finger pointing thing, but like,
We want to be compassionate to other people in our world. And
respectful.
Community.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Amen.
Find out what it means to me.
Oh, I feel like they're eating Triscuits on their pizza right now.
Fuck them.
Stop.
I'm getting out of here. I'm getting on a plane tonight. I'm not. I'm here for 3 more days. All right. So then the fourth thing, the relationship to the trans community. And they said, how do you view drag's relationship to the trans community? And she says, I think it's a boring topic. And in what she was talking about, like, later on,
oh,
is that
Lord.
It's not, the way that she views gender is not the same way. She's, for her, she's like, she doesn't take identity very seriously. And so, in one way, I feel like, well, is that a slap to, like, trans people who are taking their gender seriously? But she's also just not engaging because she's like, drag and transgenderness are not the same thing.
Right.
One's performance.
I feel like one is performance and one is identity.
Yes.
But I do think there needs to be a little bit of a sensitivity of the community that thinks that it's their, that it is identity for. I don't know. I can't say. I am straight and a woman, so I feel like I can't speak on that issue.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, I think this is, Rue is so interesting. A lot of the things that she says, like, it just sort of, it's, I don't have a lot of definitive anythings about it. She's, and also like, she shouldn't be the voice for everybody.
Right.
And like, she's just a human being and a person all in of her own as well. Oh God. It's
this is getting crazy.
And drunk.
Let's pause it for a second. Okay.
Let's keep going. But she shouldn't be the voice for everybody, I guess. You know?
Right.
I don't think she should be the voice for everybody. She's got some things that are like, interesting, but she's not the dogma on all things.
She's pulling the I'm not a role model thing.
True. And then she says, you know, most people are dumb as fuck. And she says, she says, look at their voting habits. And she's like, you know, it's not worth it. She says, I tell you this as someone who's a smart motherfucker.
Oh.
Don't waste your time fooling with dumb people or trying to figure them out or try to educate them. It doesn't work. It's a lose-lose situation.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
But not, like, educating the dumb people?
Yeah.
The dumb fuckers?
Because then it's everybody's perception of who's dumb.
But I would say, like, a lot of these Trump supporters, like, the ones out there, I'm going to call it, they're dumb. Yeah. And I feel like I should not waste my time with them because they're never going to come over to the other side.
But don't you think it's a little dangerous to...
To leave them in their dumbness?
Well, to not talk, not engage about it.
And just leave them. Because if you leave them stirring and them not being challenged on their stuff...
Then some shit's going to happen.
Then you just leave them in their...
Festering.
Their
what
dumb.
What happens to a wound when you don't put a Band-Aid over it?
Oh.
It gets infected and spreads.
This is great. So in a lot of ways, what I love is that you're like, I hear you, Rue, but not 100... Like, because Rue is like so far on the other end. And it's like part of that, but dial it back a little.
Yeah. I never take anybody for face value. I try to listen to what people have to say and pick and choose from... what they say from time to time, because I know myself, I'll say some dumbass shit from time to time, but I think that I generally have a good heart and know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, except for like Trump or like, you know, Cruz, who are hateful people who don't have good agendas.
True. So they're the dumb fuckers and we don't need to worry about them.
Keep an eye on them, like this pigeon who's been circling us.
So something that I want to just touch base on that she talks about, that I talked about recently, and she talks about, drag's function, and she says it's been the same since the beginning of time when we were shamans, witch doctors, or court jesters. They were the drags of their time.
Okay.
Witch doctors.
But
I talked about this earlier, a few weeks ago, about the history of, like, queer culture.
Right. But I also think that it also bleeds into being a woman as well, because you always have to play the role in order to fit into society. Whoever is on the outskirts of society, you have to play a role. You have to essentially play drag in order to find your niche and not be, you know...
Ooh, you talked about niche, and I want to come to that.
Okay.
Right after I say this other point, she says... that they're there to, like, all these court jesters and shamans. I don't know about shamans, but she said, like, we're like, I don't know about, I think, I get what she's saying, that we've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think in this capacity, because she says to remind culture to not take itself too seriously.
Right.
And to remind you that you are not your shirt or your religious affiliation.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Like, you're an extension of the power that created the whole universe.
Right.
You are God in drag. You are dressed up in the outfit of a body, which is temporary.
Yes.
You are eternal. You are forever. You are unchanged.
Ooh.
And this is a dream you're having. So don't get too attached to it. Make love. Love people. Be sweet. Have corn dogs. Dance. Live. Lug. Love. Fuck shit up. But it's all good. You can't fuck it up because you're eternal.
Ooh.
She should have ended the interview on that.
That's a good point to end. Yeah.
She did it.
No. Here we go.
So she talks about, like, nicheness.
Yes.
And we talked about, like, you know, they said, do you think that audiences have become more niche? And she's like, yes, definitely. She talks about, like, when she was back in New York, she'd go out, like, every night to four or five, maybe six clubs in a night. I'm like, damn,
how do you
girl,
do that
you
shit?
Cover charges?
I could barely handle two.
That was a lot. And she said that every the clubs you'd see, you know, uptown, downtown, black, white, gay, straight, everybody at these places. And she says that was really exciting. And she says, like, but now in the 90s, people started to go off into their niches. And she thought that was very indicative of what was going on to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And she says that you're witnessing it in television right now.
Mm.
And that it's a cycle that people go through. So she's saying that she's not liking that people are becoming niche or finding their own. I'm interpreting that she's, like, not liking these communities. And I say that because she talks about it even further. She said the reason why she thinks this is happening is because people became more narcissistic.
Interesting.
So that people started to become self-analyzed or in therapy about their own personal issues, and those personal issues became omnipotent, that they wanted the whole world to know.
Oh.
These are my personal issues. They're important, damn it. And so I need to be around people who understand me. Rather, she says the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Affixing yourself from the inside out, that they wanted the outside to reflect who they were. So she's saying that she pretty much blames it on the me generation, and that this narcissistic generation needing to make their environment reflect who they think they are.
Interesting.
So again, like, throwing, and it's kind of hurtful because almost like she's making me question everything that I know about my identity and who I am and the people that I want to watch Shonda Rhimes shows because it reflects, like, my community and my people.
You know what?
She's almost like saying, she's almost challenging our very podcast's existence.
I'm going to break this down right now.
Yes. Please do, because I'm having an identity crisis right now.
It's
my heart
a gender
hurts.
Thing. It's it's not a gender thing. It's a generational thing.
But do you think it could be gender? Because also, and also to point this out too, and we'll talk about this next week when we problematize this root in itself. But she's also a dude, and she's a dude talking about
the privilege of being a dude.
Right.
But also, here's the thing that I want to definitely bring up, and it's been happening a lot. It happened with Gloria Steinem. It happened with Madeleine Albright. It happens with whenever you reach a certain age, I believe, you tend to look at the upcoming generations with distaste. And it's annoying to me because the baby boomers were all about celebrating themselves, celebrating blah, 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 70s generation, celebrating themselves. We're doing it. We're ourselves. Generation X, we're ourselves. We do our thing. We create anew. And then they turn around and talk shit about the newer generations coming up, like they're not, like they don't know anything.
Right.
Oh, you don't know about feminism. You don't know about racism because we paved the way for you.
Yeah.
When, in a sense, we're dealing with some of the repercussions that, one, that you created, older generations, and two, we are just trying to make do with the world that we have now.
Right.
And it may be different because the world is different.
It's different. And the conversations are changing and it's evolving. And
right.
perhaps RuPaul is being left behind
right.
in the conversation. You're not in the conversation anymore.
Sometimes
because
it changes.
Also you've, and because when you've made it, you don't have to actually be as involved in the conversation anymore. Ru's a fucking millionaire.
Right.
And doesn't have to be as much of an activist and doesn't have to work
right.
as hard because in some ways you've made it. And also Ru's like, doesn't want to be part of the mainstream. Has always said since she was 15, I don't want to be part of that.
Right.
And so has made it on her own without being a part of that.
Exactly.
And hasn't had the same struggles. So I think it's hard to speak for everything and for people who are trying to just literally find their way and find a
right.
way to, like, love themselves and their identity in whatever way that comes up.
Exactly. Oh, hey, Pug. Say hi. But I really do think that people who are of an older generation, I'm going to check myself on this too when I look down on generations that coming
won't.
On up behind me, hopefully
probably
not.
Be like,
but sometimes I've
bad.
Been like these
sometimes.
Younger people.
And then,
but I need to check myself because they are dealing with other things that are different than what I've dealt with.
True. Things are different. They have, like, Bieber fever.
Ew.
And so then she talks about, the last thing I just want to talk about is, you know, do you think it's important for younger generation to learn it and drag? And she's like, I don't know.
Oh my lord.
I love her first response is that things are weird, and then she says something interesting.
Yeah, she.
She's like, I don't really care about them. Still developing her thought. She's like, I don't really care about them. The truth is, they're on their own. Great.
Really. Thanks.
They'll figure it out. There's nothing we can do for them.
Awesome.
She's like, you can't force them to say, look, this is important. She's like, humans don't learn that way. I think about New York, and I had such a great fucking time there, and I wish everybody else could experience it too.
Right.
She sounds like an old lady.
Old, yeah.
So I mean, she's like, am I going to work it out for them?
Saying an old, but.
She's like, no, bitch, you're working on your own. Work it out for yourself. Which I think is like, and again, like, I'm all about the youth,
yeah.
Even though I quit my job working with the youth, because I was like, I'm getting old. I literally said this to myself. I asked these youth about, like, the music that they're listening to, and in my head, I just thought, I don't care.
See,
but I asked them, but I don't.
But you also have to just give it to them, be like, yes, that's yours, and then also deal with your... You know, it's puzzle pieces.
I've given, like, for years to the youth and being involved in teaching.
Right.
And I can't give any more time, but I want to make millions of dollars and give them money.
There you go. Support them if they need support. Don't support them if they don't need support. Dreadlock man. She's so loud, you guys.
You can hear her. They hear her everything.
It's one lady.
They were like, is there anyone who interests you in pop culture right now? She's like, Judge Judy.
Get out of here.
She has kept the story of mankind.
Oh, my lord.
So that's the first segment of the RuPaul thing, which I think is just a lot of interesting questions that Ru poses. And then I want to look at this even more further next week of, you know, the fact that she is a man getting to perform gender and talk about gender, what is that?
Yeah, what's the privilege that comes from that, too?
There's a few, and also, like, what does it mean to be... She's dictating what does it mean to be a black woman or
right.
that image and
right.
what that should look like or can look like.
Oh, totally.
There's a new music video that's been problematic, like, it's a little problematic and weird.
Mm.
And someone's accused her of actually being anti-black and actually a black person putting on blackface.
Let's talk about that
so we're
next
about
week.
That next week.
Yeah.
We'll really get into it. And also, like, but then me talking about it, and like, but doesn't Ru, she was just saying, don't talk about this. Don't be a victim. Don't talk about me.
I think we need to talk about it. No, we need to talk about it. Okay. If she's giving an interview, she clearly wants to be talked about.
I'm going to murder this woman.
She's, like, with five people, and we only hear her.
She's 20 feet away from us, everybody.
She's not, like, in our faces right now.
20 feet away from us. Anyways, we're going to go murder this woman, and then
we'll be back
with Quizlet Corner.
Quizlet Corner.
Murder Corner. Murder, 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 murder Corner. Just a little bonus corner. Annette and I were just talking offline that we should talk about this right now because I think that this interview is so interesting because I was thinking, like, yeah, I should release some of this anger. But, you know, part of me doesn't want to because I feel like it charges me to be active and
right.
to do things.
But what I was telling you before was I think that it's a natural release. And I think you've already released some of it because there was a point in time when I feel like you had almost a little bit of self-discovery where the Black Lives Matter really affected you. And it was really...
I called you up. I was like damn near in tears.
Right. And you have now... You have relaxed into it. It's still upsetting.
We started this podcast because of it.
Right. And I feel like I've kind of relaxed into it. And it's not like my agency has died. It's not like I think any less of it. I'm just more, the sting is less, but
Which makes time, like over time, something will hurt a little bit less.
Right. It hurts less, but the power's still there.
Because these things are still happening. And I guess I'm afraid if I'm not angry, it means I don't care. I'm not doing anything
but
about it.
But that's not true.
Okay.
It's all about... In fact, you're more rational when you're not as angry.
True, yeah.
You are able to think with an intelligent, peaceful mind that lets you calculate your next steps. And I think it's kind of a natural progression that you go to. And if you find that you are constantly angry all the time, you haven't worked through it yet.
Mm.
Because when you work through something, you look at it more rationally, you look at it more calculated, and you're able to process it better and see all the nuance.
True.
So at first it's a sting, it's a punch. And then you move into the, well, what do I do next?
Yeah.
And I think that that's normal and natural in the way it should be.
Yeah.
And it's not natural when it's just always a sting.
Right.
When it's always a punch and you're not able to think about it rationally.
Because I don't want to just be angry. I think throwing love at something is the best way to absolutely go. I really do feel that. But sometimes I you know, things do hurt. And
right.
I am a human being and I'm allowed to be hurt and I'm also allowed to be angry. But I guess it's then like, what do I do then with that anger?
Right. What do you do with the anger?
And I don't want people to think that just because I'm not angry all the time that I don't care and that you can then just say things that...
And that's not true.
Or not, you know, own your shit and be respectful. Like, I think that's another thing what we want people to be is just be respectful of other people.
Yeah.
And equality.
And points,
we want equality.
Points come through a lot clearer when you're not like, for example, if you're angry and you just go, fuck you, that's anger. But if you go, no, you're wrong because of this, this, and this.
True. Or like, I almost got into a fight at SantaCon when I was doing my Black Lives Matter protest. I led a silent flash mob.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was
it happened to be at SantaCon, and it was like all these like predominantly like white people who were like
drunk
yelling at me to go get a job. And I'm like, look at you, you're drunk at like 12
I'm shaking
o'clock
my head.
On a Saturday.
It's
these
awful.
SantaCons, all these people dressed in these Santa Claus outfits,
mm-hmm.
and saying that I'm ruining. They're like, Santa Claus lives matter.
Oh my god.
And we were just doing a protest. Like we did we chanted I Can't Breathe 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
We gathered
mm-hmm.
in honor of Eric Garner and to bring attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And people were upset because we were and like SantaCon, which started off as a protest against consumerism during the holidays,
it turned totally into
it's become this a drunken day for people just to get wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there's so many people who were just giving us such anger for just being present with our voices, and you know, there's people of all different races there.
Right.
Just giving attention to this. People were just so hostile towards us. And
yep.
I almost want, my mom was like, just breathe. She's like, you're angry right now. And I'm like, I know. She's like, you might do something. I'm like, I know. And I didn't care. I was irrational at that moment with my
anger. But
that's
where the anger becomes a problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to be angry, but then it's good to not internalize, but to think about the anger.
Yeah.
To make it more thought-provoking.
Yeah.
Because then you can do so much with that anger.
True. Well, thank you. I wanted to just have this conversation. We were having it offline, and I was like, the people need to hear this.
People need to hear it.
People
Ooh,
need to hear
it. We hear some techno coming on, too.
Mm, this is going to take us into the actual Quizlet Corner. See you over there.
Quizlet Corner.
We murdered her.
She did.
Here we go. Quizlet Corner.
That was pretty.
Because we were able to like harmonize and look into each other's eyes.
I like that a lot.
And like, I gotta say, I love being with you doing this episode again. It's been great.
Even
our
connection
been crazy.
Is fast. Well, just in the last half an hour.
We have to record this soon because I almost got into a fight.
Yeah, James straight up gave some sass
to
some people.
There's a group of white kids who are just like, I feel like trying
I'm
to be obnoxious.
I'm straight up cringing
And I just
right
feel
now.
Like, and if we leave, then it's like, they win.
Well, we're going to have to leave at some point.
No, I'm staying here
Look
all
at the
day.
Cute black family
I'm
coming,
never leaving
so.
Here.
There you go.
Come by us, black family. I'm going to say inappropriate things.
Okay.
All right. Quizlet Corner.
I'm
One
ready.
Of these is not true.
Okay, I'm ready.
I love the music in the background because I'm going to say some like weird, inappropriate, like not fun things, but this music's like, hey.
Who's?
It's
whatever,
the,
I'm
yeah.
into it. It's like a club.
Welcome to Club Corner. So, transgender detainees are at high risk of assault in U.S. immigration facilities.
Am I picking one thing that isn't?
Just talking.
You never.
Forgot to explain the rules to you. One of these is not true.
Okay. Okay, yes.
Number two, Kansas students.
Yes.
Are to get $2,500 payout if they rat out on transgender schoolmates for using the incorrect restroom.
That's bullshit.
It could be not true.
Okay.
Number three, despite a new Georgia anti-LGBT law, The Walking Dead, though it's been urged by fans, will actually continue to film in Georgia. Even though this anti-LGBT law will be passed,
oh.
The Walking Dead will continue to film, even though fans have said...
Get out of there. Could be true, could be false.
Could be true, could be false. Number four, two lawyers walk into a bar and get kicked out for being black. Could be true, could not be true. Number five... Miley Cyrus is moving to Tulare, California, and there's fears that she's going to get pregnant and addicted to meth.
What?
Could be true, could not be true. One of these.
The last one?
You just went with that one just right out of the...
Just because it sounds like you pulled it out of your butt. The other ones sound sad and depressing, and that last one just sounds like you slapped together some fake-ass facts.
So Miley Cyrus is moving to Tulare, California, and... a fan is concerned that she's going to get pregnant and addicted to meth. They wrote it in the comments of the article.
Oh, okay, so it's not true. All right.
Wait, I said that there's a fear that she could, someone fears
so
that.
So that one was a true
That's
one?
True.
Stop it.
So you're
Some
so wrong.
Comment troll. Was it, okay, was it the black guys got kicked out of... Black no, lawyers?
That's true. Two lawyers this happened in Fresno, California.
Ew,
and
here.
And guess what? I'm going to post the links to this article. We won't have time to get into it too much, but I wanted to give you guys a heads up about it. These two lawyers happen to be lawyers for the ACLU.
Ooh.
They done fucked up. And all they wanted to do was sing karaoke. And the bar people kept being like, you need to order drinks or get out of here.
Ew.
And they're like, we just order drinks. And then they wouldn't let them sing karaoke. And then they like got the police and like got them kicked out of a bar.
Fresno. Yes, Fresno.
Fresno. So you're still wrong. Which one?
I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, no, actually, The Walking Dead is going to walk out.
Oh, good.
The Walking Dead has got to walk out if Georgia passes the LGBT law, which means they lose a shit ton of money.
You get so much money when you film in a city.
Yeah.
So that was stupid on Georgia's part.
Dumb of their part. And, yeah, that's a new thing that I... A new bill, Kansas Bill SB 513 and HB 2737, that if the bill is accepted, every time a student sees someone in the opposite sex restroom, he or she could sue the school for $2,500.
I saw that.
Compensation for psychological, emotional, and physical harm suffered as a result from someone using the same goddamn bathroom as you.
That's such bullshit.
Go fuck yourself.
Who cares? Like, come on, get over yourself. Let people just pee in peace. Jesus.
I feel bad because I really was going to talk about this transgender detainees being at high risk as my issue, and
yeah.
I bumped it for the more hot topic conversation of RuPaul.
Well, you know, you still squeeze it into Quizlet Corner, and I also want
to
say...
To it.
Can I say that I'm very proud at the university that I work at because our bathrooms in the library are now all inclusive.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
But back to the, as we bump the detaining transgender people again. There's a lot of, sexual assault that's happening to these detainees.
It's awful.
These young immigration, transgender detainees. So, and that's one of the things I don't know what to do about it. It's like I bring attention to this. I don't know what to do.
All we can do is bring attention to it so people talk about it. So hopefully when somebody in power knows about it, they'll be able to change it. So if you talk about something, that's doing something.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm just trying to Superman the world. I just want to be able to help everybody.
Superman
that
the world.
World. Superman that world. Superman,
is that a real
that
song?
World. That Superman that Soulja Boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I was going to be
like,
did we just make
sex?
Up? I don't know. Was it a dance?
That Soulja Boy. Super Soak that hoe. Is that what they're saying? Super Soak that hoe? And if so, that probably means they're jizz and cum. And
but also
gross.
A black man invented the Super Soaker.
So it all works out. So Super Soak that hoe.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Maybe she's hot and they want to cool her off.
With water from a Super Soaker, please.
Let me help you cool down, madam.
No.
Because she can't swim.
I'm saying no to all of this.
Thank you for participating in Quizlet Corner.
Quizlet Corner!
Super Soak that no.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, you guys, we got here earlier. There was literally no one around us.
It was lovely.
You can probably hear the party is happening.
The
music is playing. People are drunk. Easter. Where's Jesus?
They're like, someone has a table and they're like tossing like salad and baguettes.
You guys, it's nuts.
Turned, there's a lady playing hula hoop over there
There's a naked dude. The circus is here.
It's gone. There's a guy with dreadlocks giving out coconuts.
And y'all, still to be honest, we're still kind of like the only two black people here.
No, there's a family right behind you.
But the fact that you can point them
out. I know.
Like,
I know. It isn't just like, oh, over there, over there, over there. No, it's like little
it's
blips.
It's everywhere. It's kind of sad.
Little
when we
tiny
leave,
blips.
It's, yeah.
Two less. But I'm going back to my, there's some skater guys that are going to come over and talk to us.
Can a skater say hi to your podcast? Yeah,
sure.
Hey, what's good? This is Joey Brown. You know me from the park. I do my handstands here all the time.
Oh, he's sitting down.
Speaking of, yeah. Where can they see you do your handstands?
You can catch me at northeast
corner.
So that's by the tennis courts.
All right.
I also like to hang right down off the path in front of the playground.
Okay.
Yeah,
it does sound creepy.
Really
Joey,
complicated.
I need you to step away from the podcast. And please don't do the handstands near the children anymore. Just some advice. Yeah. What?
Do the handstands here.
Oh, do the hand. Yeah, we're at Gay Beach. You can do the handstands here. Just wear some short shorts and take.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
Oh wow. This is good.
He's still doing a handstand.
There's peanuts. Here comes I'm allergic. His crotch is falling in my face.
Back.
Well played, wow. Joey Brown. Joey Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Joey Brown. Of course, I'm a podcast host.
All right. So we're gonna wrap this up.
We're gonna wrap this up. On that note, thanks, Joey Brown and the crew.
All right, bye guys. Have a good day.
Minority Corner. Minority Corner. You can listen. You're on the podcast this week.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What's your podcast name?
Called Minority Corner. We're on iTunes.
Yeah. Listen to it. We're on iTunes.
You're on this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we love you. Well, the fans just are coming out in droves.
James, we need to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, yeah, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
I'm sorry, you guys. It got crazy.
This is too much for me.
I love you. If you don't hear from us.
We just proved our point that shit got crazy.
if our lovers don't hear from us.
Call 911.
Call 911.
Well, by the time you guys... This is released on Wednesday.
We hope.
And you haven't heard from us?
Yeah. If you guys listen to this...
We're still at the park.
We're still at the park, and we're, like, being hand-stood and playing hacky sack and
that
beer bongs
wild.
And... We gotta
they were nice, though.
They were nice. If he listens, if you're listening, your world was rocked by listening to this episode.
Yeah.
And he probably knows a lot more about RuPaul.
Yes.
Than he ever would have thought to know.
And dark skin, light skin.
So, you're welcome.
Maybe we just created an ally.
Yeah. Awesome. High five. Didn't even have to count us in.
We didn't have to even clap on our own coast.
Yep, and getting it all full circle. I'm so sad. Next week we'll be on separate coasts.
It was good to see you.
It's very good to see you. I miss you tons.
Miss you. Well, I don't miss you yet.
Well, okay. I'll just saying. In the future.
I will miss you.
Have a good weekend, Nikki.
You too.
I'll see you from the East Coast. I'll see you. Hello from the other side.
Hello. It's me.
Oh, I thought you were singing something else.
I don't know. It was a mashup between Adele and
that was
Lionel Richie.
Yeah, it's all. Hello. Is it me from the other side?
I've called you 1,000 times. All right, bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.